This is Won't Stop, written by Safely Capricious and read by Flower Parish. This is a Marvel and DC crossover fic, rated mature, tagged, Lazarus Pit DCU is an ally, trans Jason Todd. Jason Todd and Damian Wayne meet in the League of Assassins. Jason Todd steals Damian Wayne. Rescue. And toddler Damian Wayne. Jason swims his way out of the Lazarus Pit exactly how he's always wanted to be. Bruce had told him, when he'd adopted him, and seen how Jason had flinched when the judge had called him Jane, that once he was a little bit older, he could get all of the surgery he wanted. The T and the legal name change had been enough, at the time, but he had been looking forward to being fully himself. So, his first thought when he crawls out, bulkier and bigger than he'd ever hoped to manage to be, is... well, no. His first several thoughts are just pure incoherence until he's managed to get past the immediate effects of the Lazarus Pit. But once he's panting and come back to himself, his first thought is euphoric. And then he realizes he's somehow in the League of Assassins, and it's not like Bruce brought him there, and also he died, and the euphoria has to get shoved to the back burner. It's still there, of course, but other things take priority. He finds that although the initial symptoms of rage the Lazarus Pit gave him fade quickly, he's still more prone to mood swings than he's ever been in the past. The look Talia gives him, when he brings it up, when he thinks it's from the Lazarus Pit, is pitying, as she tells him that's what puberty is like. He'd been a late bloomer, because of the malnutrition, even with the tea. He hadn't expected it to be like this, though. So, maybe he can blame puberty for the fact that as soon as he catches sight of Roz standing over baby Damian, he knows he's going to grab the kid and run. Talia's dropped hints about the bad future her father has planned for her son are barely needed, although he does appreciate the resources she casually leaves out in the main area of the set of rooms they share. He follows her guidance and grabs Damian and runs for it. They end up spending several days squatting in houses without any heat, huddling together to stay warm, and Jason gets almost more attached to the baby goat plushie than Damian is, due to its ability to get the kid to stop crying as soon as it's in his hand. Despite all of that, Roz's men still catch up with Jason and his baby Bjorn at the airport. Through security, even, which seems even ruder somehow. It's a public place, so he should be safer since it would be harder to black bag him, but, well, he's spent too long with the League and is unfortunately aware of how willing to bribe they are to have much faith in that. So he prepares for a standoff, heading back to an area under construction that is technically open to the public but doesn't actively have people in it, since there aren't even any seats in the cavernous space. He checks that Damian is secure to him as he can get, gives the kid his favorite plushie of a baby goat, which he promptly starts chewing on the ear of, and gets out the blades that Talia had somehow smuggled into the airport that he'd had to get out of the back of a toilet. He maybe has underestimated just how many people Roz would send after his grandson, however, as the black-clad figures start to file in and don't stop filing in and... fuck. Well, he thinks, resigned, he's probably going to die. But he's definitely going to take as many of them with him as he can. He braces his feet and flips one of his knives a few times to make sure it's comfortable and... yeah, all right. If you give us the child, one of the men says, we will kill you quickly. Jason snarls. Jokes about murder aren't funny, says a second voice, and there's a woman in jeans and a red top walking out from behind one of the posts, unless they're well executed. The assassin in charge gives a signal that Jason knows means to kill the witnesses, and he'd feel bad, but he's not going to be able to keep himself alive, let alone someone else. He shouldn't try to intervene when two of the men peel off to handle her, but look, he's not going to succeed, but like hell is he going to let them take her out first? Except, instead of waiting for them, she springs forward and... why did the stick lose the fight? She asks as she ducks nimbly around a thrown punch, taking one of them out with a swipe of her leg, and then grabbing the arm of the other. It snapped, she says, and breaks the man's arm cleanly in two. She tosses her hair and glances back at Jason and winks. This seems to break the stupor of the assassins, and all at once they're being rushed, and Jason swears and moves closer to her so they can watch each other's backs. He's not sure if Talia sent her or what. He doesn't recognize her, but she's damn good. But they're still massively outnumbered. While this fight is spelltacular, she says, a bit out of breath, I think it's time for us to deplane. Jason doesn't have a moment to tell her how much sense that doesn't make before there's glowing lines spreading out underneath them and he keeps his feet underneath him, but barely. Three of the assassins land with them, and the woman has them unconscious before they can twitch, and Jason finally takes a second to look around. They're on the deck of a boat, a container ship, and at first he doesn't think there's anyone else there, but then a man steps out from the shadows of one of the containers, lighting a cigarette. You could have called before you fought him, you know, he points out in a dry English accent. The woman brushes at a bloodstain on her top and clicks her tongue. Where's the fun in that? And then she turns to Jason and tilts her head. You're very good, by the way. Can I interest you in a job? Oh, for fuck's sake, the man mumbles, and a memory swims its way up from Jason's past, and he checks again and, yup, tan trench coat. Constantine, he asks, just to be sure, and the man blows a ring of smoke and waves a hand. Yeah, my reputation precedes me, I know. The woman grins and then holds out a hand for Jason to shake. I'm Natasha. It's nice to meet you. Jason sheathes the knives he's still holding and shakes her hand. Her grip is firm and warm, and honestly, he's a little bit in love. Did Talia send you? He asks, finally. Nah, she says. I saw a bunch of league assholes following a guy with a baby and thought I'd cause some trouble on purpose. They're not my least favorite organization, but they're up there. She glances back to Constantine. Why are we on a ship? Can't do a magic portal into Gotham, can I? He asks around the cigarette he's still smoking. Sends you other places, like Newark if you're lucky, and the Mariana Trench if you're not. Jason jerks and blinks and looks over and they're surrounded on all sides by shipping containers, in one of the small hallows made, so it's not like he can see, but Gotham, he asks. We're in the harbor, Constantine says, and gives a mocking bow and gesture. Natasha walks over to him, and for a moment it looks like she's just going to walk past him, but then she's grabbing the loose knot of his tie and pulling him up and kissing him, which answers some questions he maybe had, but also leaves him with more. Thanks for picking me up from the airport, she says, once they've stopped kissing. Constantine's hands are soft on her waist. My pleasure, love, he says, and then casts a glance back at Jason. You brought us a pretty present, too. I'm Jason, he feels like he has to introduce himself, belatedly realizing he hasn't yet, and Natasha snaps her fingers and grins. That's who you are. I knew the fighting style was familiar. Wilson was bitching about having to give you back to the league, you know. Jason blinks and feels blindsided, especially when she strides back to him and grabs his wrist and starts tugging him out of the alley of containers. I've definitely got job opportunities if you want them. And other opportunities, if you want those. She aims a wink back at him, and Constantine licks his lips, as if her come-on wasn't blatant enough. Jason can feel himself blushing, and he doesn't know what to do or say. He's been hit on before, but not like this. They end up along the edge of the ship before too long, and sure enough, there's Gotham stretching across the bay. Their ship seems anchored, not getting closer, but not going further away, either. And maybe it's just because he hasn't been back in a while, but the smog that encompasses Gotham almost seems pretty in the afternoon light. And just then, he thinks that he sees a rainbow stretching its way from the vague area of Crime Alley towards the Diamond District. What's the job? He asks, and lets himself step in between them so that their shoulders are comfortable weights against his. When they take his hands, he doesn't even object. Damien continues to chew on the ear of his baby goat plushie. The end.